Good morning. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Pastor, you want to do it? All right. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the safety and the blessings and the testings you've given us over this week. Lord, we can't wait to see what you're going to do this next week. Lord, we thank you and praise you for being an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 385. 385. Standing, or Bible stands. The Bible stands raging against raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands like a mountain towering from the works of man. It's proof that not ever was seen. You did destroy, they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, and I will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, with precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, every test we give it, for its author is divine. God grace alone, I expect to live it, didn't make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand. The earth shall crumble, I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Amen. You may be seated and turn over to 206.
Sir?
Okay.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall my praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful and matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonder grace of Jesus, reaching all the lost, by pardon, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful and matchless grace of Jesus, mighty than the mighty rolling sea. Ten sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scopes of my transgressions, greater for than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by his transforming power, marking him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful and matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater form than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Thank you very much for your singing.
Well, amen. If you're awake this morning, say amen. I'm getting there. All right. Glad you're here this morning and looking forward to a good day in the house of the Lord. And summer is over. Not the hot dog days of summer, because they're still here, but kids are back in school. They either went to start of school last week or they're start school this week. But we had two great camps, a great youth conference, great Bible school, had a great summer, and looking forward to the fall, cooler weather, and we will have our missions month, ladies meetings, the men's recharge, some kind of wedding, something in September, I'm not sure, anyway, but we're looking forward to that this fall. Hope you'll be involved, hope you'll be faithful, and pray for our kids. They go to in school. Peer pressure is huge, and they need to have a walk with the Lord and a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. So pray for them. This Wednesday, back in God's house, why we are Baptist. And then Saturday, bus visitation, Operation Saturation. Next Sunday's back to school Sunday. The only way you can promote out of this class is go to heaven. So we don't want you to do that, all right? So, the rest of those kids that are eligible to promote, we'll promote, and we'll have a combined 11 o'clock service with illustrated message and snow cones for everybody after the service. Then the wedding's coming up 3 weeks, Friday, September 4th at 5 o'clock. Not 6 o'clock, not 6:30, 5 o'clock. Thank you for the ladies that put on the bridal shower for Leah. And for those of you that came and participated, I got to eat a little bit of the food after that, but the rest of it, you want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything you did. Then we will start Patch Club back up Wednesday the 9th. Looking forward to that. And then Baptist Men's Recharge, Wheat State Camp, September 25th and 26th. Looking forward to that. Always good if you can plan to go with us Friday night and Saturday morning. On the back, there are several that we need to pray for. Lois Vizzi, who's my mother-in-law's great-grandchild. Huh? Lois Johnson, sorry. Always making mistakes. Anyway, she's 2 years old, and her blood sugar was 20, and that's not good. They took her to the hospital. They transferred her to a children's hospital in Washington, D.C. So please remember Lois Johnson in your prayers. Brother Kevin had biopsy, won't know for a couple weeks. Pray for her. Leah Raper lost her dad this week, and so please pray for her. Connie Mork's husband is out of the hospital, still needs our prayers. Pastor Ken, Brother and Sister Moyer, brother, both of them still needs our prayers. Brother Moyer is still not really doing good, has something behind his eye that they're really watching. And so pray for him and his wife. Brother and Sister Hessen been sick this week. Good to see Sister Vance. Eugene is doing pretty good, doing better. Sherry Sanborn, how's she doing? Okay. All right. And Jim Overton, please pray for Brother Butler and Brother Atwood from Beeville, Texas. My cousin's wife is still cancer. She is on hospice. It's not very long. Brother and Sister Eberhard, Sister Woody's here, Brad Newman, Brother and Sister Sanborn, Sister Rowe. Please pray for our missionaries, especially Steve and Lynn Spohr, the Wells, and Miss Judy. Brother John and Carol Fry are both now in the same nursing home unit in the same room. They sold their house, or their kids did, and moved them in there. So please pray for John and Carol Fry. He said to tell you all he loves you and he misses you, so please pray for them. Sister Newman saw her yesterday, and she thought, I think she knew me when I first got there, but then she's got dementia. But anyway, pray for her, Jewel Brown, all of our missionaries. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to be with these today. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you this morning. God, so thankful that you love us. And God, I thank you for the privilege to come to you in prayer. And God, I pray that you might bless these on our prayer list. God, all of them need your special intervention, your special healing. Pray for little Lois, God, that they might be able to find out the problem and be able to help her, dear Father, and just be with their parents and just be with her in a very special way. And dear Father, I pray for Brother Kevin, and I pray for Brother John and Miss Carol. Pray for all the rest of these on our list, the Moyers in a special way, that you might heal their bodies, and Sister Vance and others that are still struggling, Sherry, God, that you might meet the needs on the hearts of your people. And God, just heal them. Pray for our service today, that you might bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody need a handout this morning? Kevin, make sure. All right. If you did not get a handout, raise your hand. All right, back row back there. Came in late, stragglers. Back row Baptist. Anyway, all right. Don't want to draw attention or nothing, so. All right. Before I start the lesson, this is totally different. Totally opposite, not opposite, just not. I want to encourage our song service is important. I've told our church, when does the service start? When the preacher starts preaching? When does the service start? When the piano starts playing, the song leader steps up and says, let's all stand and sing. Well, preacher, that's just tradition. That's just what you do. No. It's important. It's important. The song service is so vitally important. And I hope you'll take your hymn book. I hope you'll join in the singing, because the Bible says singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's your testimony to God. And many of the songs, these are not, this is, your hymn book is not a King James Bible. It's not the words directly from God, but there is, these were written a lot by people who love the Lord, who had a walk with the Lord, who had something happen in their lives and overcame that. Fanny Crosby wrote many songs. She couldn't even see, but she saw some things, and I think the Lord allowed her to write some songs that touches our hearts today. And I was thinking about the Bible stands. If we can't sing that with all of our heart, the Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal. I promise you, a lot of other churches, a lot of other denominations can't sing that song. They're not going to sing, hey, this Bible, it burns with the truth eternal. Then it says, the Bible stands and it will forever. Don't you think God wants us to hear us sing that? That's my testimony. I believe in this book, and this book is going to stand forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, not my concepts, but the word of God. You say, well, I know you're preaching to the Sunday school crowd, and I'm glad you're here, and I know that you're grounded, but I encourage you. There's a lot that used to stand where we are, say the King James Bible is God's word, but they're moving away. They don't have that anchor. They don't have that anchor down that says nothing's going to change my mind. People that I thought, but they get around friends and people they like, and all, they're moving. And so they say, well, what's wrong with them? They can't be wrong. So they move with them. Well, I'm telling you, that's not the way it ought to be. But the last one says, last verse, by grace alone, I expect to live it. See, this is where it gets personal. Hey, I believe it's eternal. I believe it burns with the truth eternal, but I'm going to apply it to me. And this is my testimony when I sing. By grace alone, I expect to live it and to prove it and to make it mine. That's what it ought to be. Hey, this shouldn't be pastor's book. Shouldn't be mom and dad's book. It ought to be my Bible, my guidebook. Hey, the Bible is mine. I expect to live it. I expect to do what it says, so I want to make it mine. And I encourage you to join in. One thing, Meeker was, I don't know, our auditorium probably held about 65. And when everybody would sing, a lot different than in here. I mean, you got to sing. A lot of people got a lot to sing for it to be the same. I love singing. I love to sing in the shower. I love to sing everywhere. My son singing in the shower. I don't think I'd call that singing. Call it yelling. Girls would say, Mom, make him quit. But anyway, but the verse says, the Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. So I encourage you, sing with all your heart. Even if the person next to you is just making a joyful noise, sing anyway, amen? So, all right. So if you have your handout today, started last week on false doctrine. And 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the what? Faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How many of you think we're not living in the latter times? Raise your hand. Oh, I think it's going to be a long time, preacher. No, you see things lining up. It's exciting to watch the news, and you're seeing things with Israel and everything else, and you say, man, it could come. I remember my dad, when he started working with computers, I think he had to put a cassette in. Is that right, Joel? Put a cassette in. And my cousin graduated and went to college in 1984, and his dad bought him a $4,000 computer. And he turned it on one day and was able to use it the next day. but today, how far have we come? How far have we come? I mean, when we were doing our auditorium, you put your picture of this and you give it to AI and you say, I want this color and this color, and boom, there it is. Like, wow, that's neat. And all the shutdowns, 2020, you couldn't even go to Walmart if you didn't have your mask on. I'm telling you, it's all coming. And we know that we're getting closer and closer to the coming of Christ. Verse Colossians 2, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. You got to be established. You got to be secure. The Bible says, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware. Beware. That little sign, when you see that beware sign, what do? If you're on visitation, it says beware of dog. You've seen your soul winning partner in first. Amen. Hey, you go in and check it out. Beware. God says, beware lest any man spoil you. That word spoil means to carry away. When they would, Bible days, they would conquer a city and they would carry the spoils away with them. And that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants to take you away from where you belong, take you away from your beliefs. And it says, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's not an exhaustive list. Anything that's not after Christ is wrong. And we talked about this last week. What does philosophy? Philosophy is just man's reasoning. If I don't understand it, if I can't make sense of it, then I'm not going to believe it. Our life is to be lived by faith. And you're not, I'll just tell you the truth, you're not going to understand everything in this King James Bible. Right. Well, I need to understand everything in every single verse, because sometimes you read a verse and you're like, oh, that doesn't make sense. That's not what I understand, but you got to interpret Scripture with what? Interpret Scripture with Scripture. The Bible will never contradict itself. You have to look at the context, and you have to look at other verses and compare it to them and go by the prevailing principle in God's Word. So man's thinking, man's reasoning and thinking, they put it above God. Number two, vain deceit. This is the teaching of something to be so when there's no basis or support in fact. Just because somebody says it. People, if you say something long enough and loud enough, people are going to believe it. It's kind of like my father-in-law says, every hunting story and fishing story has got a long tail to it. Oh, I caught a fish this big. Well, yesterday it was this big. Well, yesterday it was the day before it was this big. Well, you know. And I was talking to my father-in-law, and he said he's killed 78 deer, something like that. 70-something. And I'm like, I've killed one. So I need to go with him more. Amen. But my son was sitting there, and we were in Colorado one time with Brian Butler, and we got an elk. And we quartered it, and by the time we got it all cut up and got it on our backs, it was dark. And Brian's the only one that had a light. So he's walking, and I'm walking right behind him. And, you know, we told that story, and yesterday I said, I actually didn't shoot it. My son goes, what? Dad, you said you shot an elk. I said, I never said that. I said, we got an elk. He said, how long you been telling everybody you shot that elk? I said, well, you know, 500 yards, one shot, you know. So I guess he learned yesterday that my hunting story kind of exaggerated, all right? But somebody that says vain deceit, evolution, does it have any fact anywhere? It only happened once, has never happened since, and we're supposed to believe it because somebody said so. It's wrong. The traditions of men. Are all traditions of men wrong? Go on now. No. Having 3 Dr. Peppers a day, morning, noon, and night, it's good for you. Amen. Four. Right before bed. Amen. Amen. Not all traditions are bad. Okay? But the traditions that take you away from Christ and draw you away from the Word of God are wrong. And then the rudiments of the world, orderly arrangement to range, to march in rank, legalism. Heard a lot of it in my life, you legalist. You'll never hear from this pulpit that keeping any of the commandments, keeping the Word of God is going to take you to heaven. Absolutely not. You can't get to heaven by anything you do. What you can do in religion, how good you are. But if you are saved, it ought to make a difference in your life. And so, but those things are wrong. Then we, how do you know when your religion is false, a cult, or of the devil? Do we have to look at every religion and say, this is the reason why this religion is wrong? Do we have to do that? Some of you don't know, and some of you don't care. I know. No, you don't have to do that. All you have to know is the truth. You have to say, this is the truth, and then this one, all right, well, this one doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's wrong. And sometimes we want to expose other religions and help people, but we just have to know the truth. We have to know one book, and that's the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Rightly dividing. And last week we looked at this. A cult will never use the Bible for their final authority. A cult will lift up some leader above the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, don't follow a leader. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul did say, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes, there needs to be a pastor. There needs to be a leader in the church. But if he goes wayward, hey, your responsibility is to still serve God. Keep your eyes on God. If you don't want to drink Dr. Pepper, fine. That's fine. If you don't want to believe in Ford, go ahead. You know what GMC means, right? Got a mechanic coming. Amen. Got a mechanic. But somebody on the back row says GMC and Chevy are not the same, but they're one and the same. So anyway, so don't follow your leader if you're, I mean, follow your leader as he follows Christ, but don't follow him if he goes away. A cult will teach and believe in work salvation. They will typically take people away from the family, God's order of authority. Guess what? Your pastor is not the daddy of your home. It's not the husband of your wife. I don't have any authority in your home. I'm the pastor, and a cult will do that. A cult will not teach assurance of salvation. A cult wants everybody to be dependent upon the cult. Guess what? If you don't come to church, you're still going to heaven. If you don't tithe, well, you may not go to... No, if you don't tithe, you're going to heaven, all right? So your salvation does not depend on the church, but you ought to serve the God in the church. A cult leader claims special revelation from God. A cult leader will make himself out to be sinless and perfect. There's a difference between a steward, I'll get in that later. Told you last week when you prepare for three sermons, sometimes Sunday night sermon creeps into Sunday school, but I'll try to divide it, all right? All right. A cult will not preach and teach the whole counsel of God. He'll deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. A cult will teach that by a gift to God above your tithe, you can purchase heaven or gain special favor from God. A cult may have weird beliefs. A cult may add doctrines to salvation. So I want to get to Roman numeral 2. What does God say about spreading false doctrine? And I've heard it. I've seen it. Oh, you Baptists, you like to rag on everybody else and say that every other religion's wrong and you shouldn't mention any others. What does God say? That's what I want to look at. What does God say about somebody that doesn't tell people the truth? The truth. And my Bible says deceiving and being deceived. If you're deceived into thinking that Chevy's the best, you're going to try to deceive others, right? He's going, no. Everybody has their opinion. Hunting. Hey, what kind of gun you like? What kind of ammo you like? And if a guy says, well, I use this, and this is a good gun, and this ammo's the best, he's given his opinion. And I don't care about, that's fine, but according to God's word, we shouldn't give men our opinion, what we've been taught. We ought to give people the truth, which comes from God's word. And that's why our basis is the word of God. And so I just want to say, whatever God calls them, oh, you say they're false and they're liars and they're... No, what does God say? That's what I want to say. And we ought to tell people, hey, if these people tell you this and say this about God, they are wrong, because that's not what the Word of God says. And I hope you won't say, well, my preacher says. Because it really doesn't matter what your preacher says. It matters what God says. So, number one, look at 2 Corinthians 11:4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 4. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 11:4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, and if you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted, because I preached to you the gospel of God freely?" So, and here he says, you don't preach, there's another gospel. There's another spirit. There's another Jesus, the Bible says. And we are to realize, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of" who? Trying to make themselves, oh yeah, we're clergy. Men on the radio will say all kinds of things. They're trying to be, oh, well, look to us. We're going to tell you the truth. They're false. They're transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Oh yeah, the devil, you can spot him, because he's red, he's got horns, he's got tail, he's got a pitchfork. No. The devil walked in the back, and guess what? The devil goes to church every day. His workers go to church every day. He's not out there getting everybody else that aren't in church. He's after you that's in church. But if they walked in, they would look good. They'd probably have a King James Bible. They'd probably sit down, but then they would start, they are deceitful. They're trying to be something that they are not. They're actors. And God says, Satan was an angel of light, a counterfeit. And then in verse 15, "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Hey, payday someday, it's going to come. They can't get by with doing that which is wrong. So these are false apostles and ministers of Satan. Oh, preacher, that's pretty harsh. You can't say those. No, anybody that promotes himself, his thinking above this Bible, and says this is, and tries to see people like the devil. What was his first task? "Yea, hath God said?" Any man of God, any clergyman that says, well, we have to wonder if that's really true. I know we read it in the Bible. No, if it's in the Word of God, it's true. It's absolutely we can see this morning that the Word of God is faithful, is trustworthy. You can count on it. So then B, the false doctrines of our day are doctrines of devils. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, then in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Any doctrine of works for salvation, doctrine of devils. That's not a doctrine of Christ, except Christ. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So if you add any other name besides Jesus Christ, the Jesus of this Bible, that's wrong. It's a doctrine of devils. C, false doctrine even deny the Lord and bring destruction upon themselves. 2 Peter 2:1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be." That's sweet. We're not dealing with anything new. That's why we have the Bible. Aren't you glad we have the Bible? Some of you are. Because I can tell you what's right and wrong. And I can, did you know we forget? Oh, I didn't know. I forgot about that. We got something to read. Why do you think they put speed limit signs every so often? I don't just put one between here and Oklahoma. No, they put them pretty often so you can remember. And aren't you glad God gave us a Bible to help us remember what God has said? But there were and shall be false teachers among you who shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift, what? Destruction. So, you say, well, you say that's damnable heresy. Isn't that what God calls it right there? He says, and shall bring in damnable heresies. D, anybody who preaches another gospel is to be accounted accursed. Galatians chapter 1, in verse number 6 through 9, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him. That's the phrase I want you to look at. So soon. I'm surprised. Longer I live, you think, man, this guy's grounded. This guy loves the Lord. This guy's, hey, we can depend on that. We can depend on that college and that preacher and that guy. And then you find out, well, he doesn't believe in that. He doesn't believe in this doctrine. He doesn't believe in this. And he's straying. So soon removed. And it doesn't say from the teaching of your church. No. So soon removed from him. This book is the written word.
Right.
Jesus is the living word. So when you distance yourself from this, guess what? You're distancing yourself from the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke the word and you have it. These two things ought to be pretty special to you right here. This one, hey, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to study it. This one I can sing and give my testimony to the Lord. Hymns are wonderful. But it's taking us away from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert. What does pervert mean? It means to turn from the truth, from its proper purpose, to distort from its true use or end. As to pervert reasoning by misdirecting, by misinterpreting it, misapplying it. And that's what people do to the Word of God. They misapply it. They misinterpret it to mean what they want it to believe. And so it says, but though we, I want you to read the Word of God. But though we or a what? What's the next thing? Anybody there? Angel. Angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Accursed means to be doomed to destruction or misery, separated from the faithful, cast out of the church, excommunicated, worthy of the curse, detestable. So that's accursed. But look what he says. But though we or an angel from heaven. I think I've had more questions in my ministry about angels. Went over to a house in Meeker. We sit down. There was an older gentleman, his wife, and their daughter lived with him. And she said, Pastor, you believe in angels? Well, Mom and Dad were sitting there, and see right there on the window, there was like the sun shone through, and there was like an angel right there. And it began, I think it said some things to us. And I'm like, what? But an angel. And you hear a lot about angels. But, you know, people can get off board. Angels are created beings. And all I say is, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. An angel's never spoke to me, except when I ate pepperoni pizza too late at night. But I'm telling you, an angel, you're going to listen to an angel. What do you think that angel means? I don't know. I have no idea. And they look at you like, you're supposed to know these things as a preacher. What about angels? I said, what about angels? All I know is, he said right there, if it's a person, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. If they preach something contrary to this, I don't care who it is. Well, I tell you, people put a lot of stock in angels. lot of stocking. Well, I think I saw this. And she said, that light through there, showing that angel over there. What do you think about that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. But I just know if that angel says there is no heaven, there is no hell, whatever. If it's against here, then let him be accursed. And so anybody who preaches another gospel is accounted to be accursed. E, anyone who spreads false doctrine has a spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Is there any other religions that says Jesus is not God? That Jesus is just a good person? That Jesus is the result of Adam and Mary's sexual relationship? That's wrong. That's totally heresy. We ought to listen to the word of God. Antichrist doesn't necessarily, it can mean opposite, but it can mean in place of. What do you put in your car so that your radiator won't freeze? Antifreeze. Got any antifreeze? So it won't freeze. So be careful. Be careful. The spirit of Antichrist. F, go a little farther. Anyone who believes false doctrine is calling God a what? Liar. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside your body. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Our cleaning crew comes and cleans our building. And you would get upset if you saw trash from last week and things all over, and you say, they need to clean this building. But God doesn't reside in this auditorium. When we turn all the lights out, guess what? He goes home, and if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God goes home with you in your heart. And how much more should we keep this body and our mind and our life clean and pure, keep the sin out, just like we do this building? So, calling God a liar. It says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Where's the record that God gave of his Son? Right here. This is it right here. This is God's record to us. I just don't agree with all of it. No. You're calling God a liar. G, we are not to bid them Godspeed, nor have anything to do with those who spread false doctrine. Oh, there you go. You guys think you're all right, and you won't have anything to do with anybody else. You don't want to. In Meeker, it's a small town, and the ecumenical council said, we're going to have a Easter Sunday morning service, and we want all religions to come. Would your church come? I said, well, who's preaching? Well, the Methodist or the Lutheran guy is going to preach. You can pray. I said, I ain't coming. Said, if you let me preach, we'll come. Oh, no. I said, I'm not coming. Well, why not? Maybe we're all getting together because we all believe the same God, and we all believe the same way. I said, no, we don't. Sorry. I was excommunicated. But the Bible says we are not to bid them Godspeed. For many deceivers, 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered in the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whoso transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Well, I think that's pretty narrow. It's pretty narrow. Well, you Baptists think you're the only ones going to heaven. Well, just go try the Jehovah's Witness or anybody else that says Jesus is not God. That Jesus Christ is not the second person of the triune God. Try to get to heaven without him in your heart. It's not going to happen. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was the Jesus of this Bible. So he said, and he that abideth in doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If they're coming into you and bring out this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Be careful. Be careful. one lady called a preacher, not me, but I was officiant, and she said, "Preacher, could you get me a Greek New Testament?" And he says, "A Greek New Testament? What do you mean?" "Well, the original Greek. I need a Greek New Testament." "Why?" "Because I could understand the Word of God better." I'm like, "Okay. Well, don't you have a King James?" "Well, yeah. But you need to go back to the Greek," and found out that her husband had been meeting with a Jehovah's Witness. Folks, you don't need a Greek New Testament. You need the Word of God. This is the preserved, inerrant, inspired Word of God. It's God's job to preserve it. If we don't have God's Word and His Word, God is a liar. But yet, "Oh, it sounds so spiritual. You need a Greek New Testament." No. Don't bid them Godspeed. The worst thing about false doctrine I skipped H, didn't I? I'll come back. It's damnable heresies. Therefore, it makes the people children of hell forever. It's not just, "Well, we want to be right. We want to show everybody that the Baptists are the best." No. If you don't believe this doctrine and you don't accept Christ as your personal Savior, that person will spend eternity in hell. That person will be shut out from God that created him, God that could have been a Savior forever. That's why we're so against false doctrine. Not just, "Oh, well, you want to be superior." No. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So what are we to do? And I'll go back up to H. We are commanded to God to avoid them who teach contrary to the doctrine of God. Why don't you go to Romans chapter 16? Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Who wrote the book of Romans? Paul. I don't know if you knew this. Paul had many friends. It's amazing. Today, people can have thousands of friends because they have this little device. Paul didn't have that little device. But Paul loved people. Paul had many friends. So you see in Romans chapter 16, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cynthia, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. And then it goes down in chapter verse 6 through 15 or 16, gives you people that he says, "Hey, salute, accept these people." Paul loved people. But then you get down in verse number 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren." He's encouraging them. He's not saying, "This is what you got to do." But he's saying, "Hey, accept these, help these people. They're doing things for the Lord." But then he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and," anybody there? "Avoid them." So Paul says, and then he goes on, verse 21, Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, Jason, the rest of these, Gaius, verse 23, "and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which were kept secret since the world began." Verse 27, "To God only wise be glory throughout Jesus Christ forever. Amen." But he puts two verses in here, 16 and 17, "Mark them which cause divisions among you." And you know, water, like if it's in a roof, if you have a leak, water will go down the shingle and look for one hole in your roof. I mean, it'll travel a long ways to find that one weak spot and drip, drip, drip there. A dam, the water pushes up, but it'll go to find one weak area that it can push through. And guess what? Satan knows what he's doing. And I hope all of you are established in the faith. You know what you believe and why you believe it. But not everybody that comes to church has a knowledge like you do. Hopefully you read your Bible, you study your Bible, you want to live according to God's word. But not everybody that comes in has that knowledge. So someone comes in and says, well, this pastor's not right, and this is what you got to believe, and this and this. And my Bible says, Paul says, hey, be careful. You need to mark them and avoid them. The division means dissension, discord. One thing that God hates is sowing discord among the brethren. I had a man in Meeker that he was about my dad's age, about 20 years older than me, and he got up when I left and he preached on Genesis 1, and he said the days of creation were unending times of endless time. It wasn't 24 hours. And when I got back, I sat down with him and I said, do you really believe that the Bible says, and the first day, the evening and the morning were the first day? I said, what does that mean? He said, well, the evening was the end of something, the morning was the beginning of something. And I says, well, I don't think that's what the Bible says. So I said, if you're going to teach and preach for me, I just wish, you don't have to lie, but just don't get on that subject. Don't say, hey, this is what I believe and this is what I think the Bible teaches if your pastor doesn't believe that. And I never had a problem with him. But I said, don't lie. But I believe firmly that the days of creation were 24-hour days. The evening and the morning were the first day. But he said, mark them. And then he says, mark them, which cause divisions and offenses. Offenses is like you cruel people that set little mouse traps for mice. And you bait them with cheese or peanut butter. You know what you're doing. You know that little mouse that would come and he's dead. But that's what he's talking about, to bait, to con. Oh, this looks good. This is good stuff, and it's for destruction. But he says, according contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Guess what? In Bible days, the Church of Galatia believed in legalism. The church in Thessalonica believed in, was wrong about the Lord, when the Lord was going to come and all that. And there was many other churches that Paul had to write and straighten them out and say, no, this is the doctrine of God. And so he says, be careful, be careful. And you notice in verse 18, he tells us their God, really, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, but by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Simple. Be careful. Be careful. He says, they serve not our Lord Jesus. Guess what? I don't have time to do this, but like the Mormons, their Christ, they have a Christ, but he was the son of Adam and God and Mary. He was a polygamist, secretly married to Mary and to Martha at Canaan. The Jehovah's Witness have a Christ, but he was not the second person of the Godhead. He was merely a son of God. Before he came to the world, he was created angel, namely Michael the Archangel. The Christian Scientists have a Christ, but he's not God. He was merely a divine ideal. His blood was of no more avail when it was shed on the cross than when it was flowed through his veins. Other religions do not have the same God that you do. I'm just telling you. Oh, we're one. We all believe in God. That's not enough. You must believe in the Jesus of this Bible. And look what it says. But they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They want to, they serve themselves, basically. Want to set themselves up. Hey, listen to me. I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to God through me. And you have a check and balance on your preacher. That's the word of God. So I encourage you, be a student of God's word. When you hear, sometimes you listen to somebody on the radio and say, yeah, I like that. But just because somebody says one good thing on the radio doesn't mean that he's good in every area. Make sure what he says is by the book, by the Word of God. I'll end with this. There was a guy, we used to live 2 hours from Grand Junction, and we'd go to get our groceries, and usually Walmart was open 24 hours, last place. We'd come home, and it'd be cold, and for some reason, Hannah and Sarah were sleeping, so I'd turn on the radio. And there was a guy on the radio that, it was a Christian radio, and he believed in, he set a date for Jesus coming back. And he said, he took questions and stuff, and that made my blood boil, so it kept me awake. And I think it was, I don't remember what date it was, but the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. He sold $1 million worth of books from religious people just like you. Hey, I want to hurt. And of course, Jesus has not come back yet. Amen? I'm going on the first trip, right? So the rapture has not happened, I'm telling you. But guess what? He deceived the hearts. He was he's probably saved, I don't know. But he was trying to tell everybody, hey, this is when Jesus is coming back. My Bible says I cannot know. But he was acting so spiritual and conned $1 million out of good people so that they could read his book, that if you would just read your Bible, you would have said, this guy is nuts. And like I said, he could have been saved, but had the wrong beliefs about Jesus coming back. So be careful. Be careful. Avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. You don't have to get in a conversation. Just say, you know, I believe the book, and I'm going to believe the book according and believe that with all your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Thank you for this morning. Please bless and move in our service to follow. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.